Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see so many people here this morning. I'm going to give a quick sort of overview of current state of play with Crossref and some other issues. This year, we've been quite busy. I don't know if anybody of you saw this on the Scholarly Kitchen a few months ago, where announcing the new Crossdress service being led by our own Jeffrey Builder here. That did keep us busy in the early part of the year, but no, that was very tongue-in-cheek, of course, earlier this year, but it is makes very funny reading, so I can recommend that. Turning to more serious matters, I'm happy to report that Crossref is doing very, very well. Membership continues to grow, and we're rapidly approaching 1,000 members. About two-thirds of those are nonprofit organizations, and this figure translates into about over 3,200 participating organizations, societies who are working via publishers. So this growth does present challenges. So one of the big initiatives we have this year and next is investing more in support services, and also looking at how we can partner with other organizations around the world to streamline administration. We have an arrangement with INASP about access for journals from the developing world, and we're also working with OASPA, the Open Access Scholarly Publishers Association, to bring organizations in on a basis that we already work with, say, Project Muse or BioOne or other organizations, so we can work more effectively with those organizations. So we're continuing to see growth in the amount of content we have in the system. We're approaching 45 million items, and I'll talk about the breakdown of that content in a minute, but again, you can just see sort of regular rapid growth. A lot of that is backfile content, so we have content going back to the 1600s. And we've been expecting backfile content to drop off. It hasn't yet. Publishers keep continuing to digitize their backfile, which means there's more content to link to. So that's all very positive. If we look at, of course, we start off largely with most of the content is still journals, 87%. But we have 6% is book content. Conferences and then components, and also not even showing up on there is database records and data sets. But if we look at the actual growth rates themselves, we've got in green the book growth rate. This is from 2007 to 2010. You can see each year, and last year it was 52% growth in the number of book titles in the system. Compare that to journals, which is actually still growing. Journal titles did decline because we had a process of cleaning up the journal title list, and so that actually meant we went down cleaning up duplicate titles and things like that. And then conferences are still growing a fair amount. So we really see book chapters and reference work being a big growth area for the organization over the next couple of years, and we'll be hearing about that at the end of the day. So when I was thinking about Crossref at 11 years old, I was thinking of what that meant, and I was kind of looking around on Wikipedia, just trying to get ideas about what I might talk about, and I came across a certain phrase that's used by marketeers for people who are highly participative, highly connected, and also achievement-oriented. I thought that captured to some extent what Crossref is, and then I thought, oh my gosh, this is on the Wikipedia page for tweens. These are children, a demographic that marketers like to target, who are in between, almost teenagers. And it's about 10 to 12 years old, so I thought, well, that's Crossref. We're a tween. And it also said that some interesting quotes from the Wikipedia page, which I've actually cited properly here at the bottom. They are beginning to identify their own interests and express themselves through their activities. At the same time, tween self-esteem is in development. Tweens are highly affected by peers and face pressure and worries, and they are often focused on how they will fit in and interact with others in society. They interact with technology flawlessly. They see electronic devices as an extension of themselves rather than a medium of communication. And I thought that actually summed up Crossref pretty well. So we have entered our tweens. Hopefully we won't become a rebellious teenager. But as we've grown over the years, I just wanted to highlight we have quite a range of services. We started off with the basic content identification and reference linking. We added cited by linking. Cross-check then came along. We'll be hearing about these in a little bit more detail. We also have a couple of programs where we work with a few thousand libraries now where they actually get Crossref metadata. We're an authoritative source for metadata now. We also have a growing Crossref metadata services program where we're getting metadata out to third parties that increases the discoverability of your content. And we also work with a large range of vendors as well that we call Crossref affiliates, and that's all been growing very well. We'll also be hearing today about our new initiative, which will be launching early next year, and that's CrossMark. And really a common theme through all of this, it's about trust, it's about authoritative data. And so I think Crossref has built up quite a nice suite of services, and we'll continue to invest in these services, but also developing new initiatives. If you weren't here for the corporate annual meeting before, we talked about that a little bit in terms of the Crossref finances, about how we are going to invest in new services, but then they all also are expected to be self-sustaining after their initial startup period. So I just want to talk a little bit about Cited by Linking. This is a service that we've had around for a few years now, but it's actually been growing very nicely. We're at over 200 publishers who are participating, but they tend to be some of the larger publishers. So at the moment, we've got 8.2 million articles with their references deposited. With the references deposited, we can then tie up what cites what. So publishers for articles they publish can then send that to Crossref and say, tell me what cites this within the Crossref system and network. So we've established 125 million cited by links and 16 million articles, and even including books and conference proceedings, have at least one cited by link within the Crossref system. I think that's about 38% of the content in Crossref so far. But I'm very happy to announce today that Elsevier is joining Crossref Cited by Linking. The implementation will be in 2011, and that's going to add approximately 200 million references to the system and probably another 25% of the content that we have in Crossref. So Cited by Linking doesn't cost any extra. Crossref doesn't charge any extra fees. Of course, you would have your own work to do to implement it, but this is a good time to join and participate because the links are going to be really accelerating. And just an example of how this works on many publisher sites, I just happened to find an example here where Crossref is reporting many more cited by links than another service here, 40 to 15. That's obviously not always the case. And many publishers also link to Thomson Web of Science and also Scopus. And the Crossref cited by links, I think, fit very well within the other links. It's not designed to be an exclusive system, but then we can see here publishers then display within their own site the cited by links that they get from Crossref. And in many cases, they're again, building up to quite nice cited by links. And we've been doing some usability testing recently on the CrossMark service and with researchers, and one of the things we sort of found out as a secondary information is that often the researchers look at how many times something was cited to assess the value of the content. So I think we'll be seeing the Crossref cited by linking growing very nicely over the next year. Just to remind you, Crossref was started. One of the reasons we were started was because links break, URLs break on the internet. We adopted DOIs to develop a citation linking backbone, as we refer to it. because broken links lead to unhappy users. We don't want unhappy users. And I think one of the things we always try to remind ourselves at Crossref is that it is about the researchers, the scientists, the users, and improving scholarly communication. So that lies behind a lot of what we do. Crossref was founded as a strategic organization, and we've managed to create a very, very powerful powerful network that encompasses a broad range of different types of publishers, open access publishers, commercial publishers, society publishers, large and small. So I want to talk a little bit about persistence. We started talking about this last year with the persistence of Crossref as an organization and our services. We take a look at persistence being for a very long time, and we've undertaken a number of activities and initiatives to make sure we do persist for a long time. There's a technical aspect. We've established, we've got two data centers, backups, a full disaster recovery plan. We are still working with our partner Adapon, but we have ownership of the IP, of the system software, and our own Crossref brand. And we feel we have good governance, a sound business model, establishing a cash reserve fund. That's all very important. But last year, we established what we sometimes refer to as the Hotel California Clause within the Crossref membership agreement. And basically, we added some information about Crossref being able to, if publishers cease operations and their content is triggered in an archive, Crossref has the ability then to update the DOIs to link into that. To link to the archives using multiple resolution. In the cases where triggered content has already, where this has happened, we have a couple of examples of it. The publisher hasn't ceased operations, they've just stopped a particular journal, so we've been able to work that out. But we want sort of that insurance for the long term. The other issue is that we can keep the metadata within the Crossref system. Publishers can leave Crossref if they like. Publishers can stop assigning DOIs if they choose to. But in order to maintain the reference linking, Crossref can keep the metadata in the system so that we can preserve the that citation linking over the long term. I'm also very happy to announce that we have agreement in principle with Portico to archive the Crossref metadata. So I'm sure many of you are familiar and have agreements with Portico. The Crossref metadata, when we finalize the agreement, would be a dark archive. Again, that would be extra insurance for if Crossref were to cease operations without appointing a successor organization. That's very unlikely to happen. We also have a backstop in the International DOI Foundation. We're a DOI Foundation registration agency. And also, as a New York not-for-profit, a U.S. not-for-profit, you know, obviously, if something happened, actually, the New York Attorney General would be inclined to step in and help sort things out. But I think Crossref has certainly reached a critical mass, has reached a stage where that type of thing is very unlikely. But I still think it's important to demonstrate our commitment to thinking over the long term. When we talk to librarians, they tend to have a longer view, a longer horizon than publishers do, talking about 100 years and centuries, whereas, say, for Crossref, an organization that's been around 10, 11 years, long-term, yeah, would be, say, 20 or 30 years. But I think it's very important that we think about these issues going forward, so I'm very pleased that we've been able to work towards that with a couple of these arrangements that we're setting up. I just wanted to highlight again some of the key partners that we work with. We have a very strong relationship that's continuing with Adapon. With CrossCheck, we work with iParadigms, who provides iAuthenticate, which is used the technical software for CrossCheck. And we also work with iNera and their XStyle product. We use it for our simple text query, and we also use it for we work with iNera. They actually test our reference matching and help keep us honest and notify us of any problems with our as an external source. So Of course, these partnerships are very important to us going forward, and we expect them to continue along for many years. And then that's it for my presentation so far. So we want to try to leave some time at the end of each presentation for questions. So before we get on with the next talk, which is a system update, I'll just see if anybody has any questions.